Why is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
What is the secret to good air hockey?
I'm not telling, because then it'll be give away my secret.
Right. But is it the angles? It's got to be the angles, right?
And it's like aggression and speed. It's actually speed.
Like your two favorite things, right?
Right. Yes, the perfect sport is. Yes.
Hand-eye coordination?
No, hell no. It's nothing to do with that.
No. Okay. Just speed. Throw it at the other person enough.
And like fat. Just keep like, just no mercy. Just keep going. Mm-hmm. Like, don't even pause for a second.
Right. I feel like I don't have to ask this, but I'm going to. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the right phrase is. Smack, trash talk. Do you try to embarrass and shame the other player?
No, I actually don't. I just concentrate.
Okay.
There was a time my cousin Adam and I, we were at Pinball Pete's in, I can't remember if we were in East Lansing or Ann Arbor. There's one in each town. And we got into this like major air hockey battle that went on for so long that my cousin and my brother were just standing around like, what is happening? And it went on for so long that the owner came out and finally said, whoever wins this game, like whoever finally scores the next point, we're going to say is the winner and I'm giving you a t-shirt. Like, they couldn't believe how long it went on.
Hmm. Was there like all those people surrounded you like they are in films and like the casinos and
like it was a slow night. So there were only a few people there.
But okay. So it's not like there were people waving money and there were chickens flying around and stuff.
No, it wasn't. Am I over the top?
Am I misunderstanding what an arcade in Michigan looks like?
I mean, it was a long time ago.
This is Why with your hosts, Heidi Hedquist and Luke Poling.
It was so well done and so nice. And of all the people they got the exact right one.
Yes.
And Sheila E. was fascinating. And like the way she was like, yeah, they just wanted me for Prince.
But even still, she was cool. Like, she wasn't bitter. She was just kind of like, nah, I'm not cool with that. But she still was like, I was part of something so amazing.
Yeah, I think she kind of has had like, enough time
still,
to like,
she still got make
peace
it.
With
it.
Yeah, make and peace with it. And then,
right.
But that was great.
And Quincy and his whole like, those white boys are pretty good. That was awesome.
And like, in the ways, like, apart from the whole, let's sing part of this in Swahili, is this actually Swahili thing, Stevie Wonder? Was it Stevie Wonder who was pushing it?
Yeah, it was.
It was like, this is so awkward and uncomfortable and taking over the situation. And then you flash ahead to Dylan's stuff.
And he's so awesome.
And he's so nervous. And Stevie Wonder's like, come over here. We'll figure this out.
Yes. And then
the one time Bob looks like happy to be there, where he was like, I can't believe that just happened.
Yes.
Like, you get to sit there and sing along with Stevie Wonder.
Yes. And it's so cool because you see all of these people, like Bob, like everybody, who are like these greatest voices of the time. And I mean, just, and all of them at their various moments are having these like freakouts for various reasons of like, I don't know, like, I don't know about, like, I don't know, can I do this? I don't know. Is that going to be okay? And even when like Huey's like, you know, we haven't rehearsed our parts yet. Do you think we can rehearse our parts yet? And Michael Jackson's like, yeah, that's a really good idea. Let's do that. Let's see if we can do that. You know? And I mean, it's like stars. They're just like us. But in that moment.
That the whole, and they got it on camera too, which was great. The whole Paul Simon and Kenny Rogers as they're sitting there going like, no, wait, you take this part.
Yes.
And he's not saying, you really want me to sing the low part? That doesn't make any, but clearly that's what he was saying. And he's not known for being the most easygoing, laid back guy in the world.
No. Captain.
He went for
a walk.
Oh, I was going to say.
He got a huge treat. He's just being an ass.
Okay.
He's the diva of the room.
Stop. Gotcha.
Yeah, it just made me so happy. And Harry Belafonte and then like Stevie and Ray. And I just, I don't know. It just made me happy. And then even just the fashion. And the Kenny Rogers driving up in his laser. And Michael Jackson. It just made me happy because it was like the sweet spot. It just was like the sweet time of Michael Jackson when he's there rehearsing and they're all at the AMAs and he's singing. And I'm like,
yeah,
it's just that was the time.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't look weird, or there's no, again, the like diva-ness of it all. It's not present yet or right. in that way.
And Lionel's stories at his house. Like,
my God, I want to call him Lionel.
I do too. So bad.
And what's the whole thing? The dog and the bird are fighting.
Oh my God, the dog can't talk. Yeah. It's like Captain and I, we're reenacting the scene exactly. right now.
It was really good.
Snake, and we're like ruining it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but we're not, because it's so good and there's so much to it and so much to see. Mm-hmm. Like in the background, just the interactions and the hair game alone.
Yeah. How did you get into this? Was this something that was happening somewhere in the world, or were you like, I bet this corgi can go faster than that one?
Well, my husband and I had always talked about wanting to do corgi racing, because we actually do another festival event called Corgi Beach Day. And we had been doing that since 2012. So Corgi National started in 2018. And of course, everybody knows about the wiener dog races. Those have been going on for years. So it wasn't
That's an original. Amateur event. Let's be honest here.
I mean, yes. But, you know, so it wasn't our idea. It was our idea with corgis, but we had just never been able to find a great location. And somebody connected us with Santa Anita Racetrack, which is a super, if you guys are familiar with horse racing, that's like the granddaddy of all racetracks. It's like the Disneyland of racetracks. So
yeah,
beautiful. It's right up against the mountains, just outside Pasadena. The grounds are great. The staff is great. So it was perfect. And we had our meeting with them, and then we were off to the races, so to speak. So, you know, we got started with Corgi Nationals.
So how did you convince the greatest racetrack that corgis needed said racetrack to be their own?
Well, they were into the idea. They didn't know how to start a race. And we already kind of had that network in place with all of our followers. We had, there's a big corgi community out here in California. So we knew it would bring people. We just needed that location. So they were excited to partner with us. And we already had experience doing events. So it took a lot off their plates too.
So do they race the actual track, or are they on the infield? And do you have just very small boxes that the corgis go into before the bell?
Yeah. So we're on the infield most of the day. We do 10 heats with 10 dogs, and we have our own racing boxes that we built. So they're all corgified. We actually built one because we used to do handicap corgi races too, because there's a lot of corgis that have genetic issues and they go into a wheelchair sometimes later in life. So we even have one stall that's built for a wheelchair if needed. So my husband built the boxes, and we do most of the racing in the infield, and then the semifinals and the finals move to the main horse track at the end of the day. So that's pretty exciting.
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
Now, I have more experience with cats than dogs. How the hell do you get a corgi to go in a straight line towards a finish line?
You know,
is that a possible? Can you do that?
It does. You know, there are some corgis that are really fast. There are some corgis that just don't want to be bothered with it. And they won't even go, or they'll just walk out and they'll want to get petted, or they'll look for, you know, they'll just lay down, you know. The best race, I think, of the day, we do a senior race. It's only open to ages 10 and up. And the seniors don't want to do anything. You open the gate and they're just like, what are you going to do? You're going to give me a treat? What do you want me to do? You want me to run 150 feet? So that's the funniest. That makes a lot of people laugh, because they're not into it. But there's some corners out there that are very, very talented, and they train for it, and they're super fast. So there's a few out there.
How do you determine the age groups? Are you checking ID? What's that to keep it legal and fair?
We're just taking people at their word, hoping, you know.
Well, good luck to you.
Yeah.
Now, do you, they're running, you said 50 feet?
They run 100 and about 130-ish feet. So,
okay.
130, 150 feet. Yeah.
And what is corgis per heat?
10.
10 per heat.
10.
And then the top two finishers move to the semifinals. So then there's 20 corgis in the semifinals. And we do two races of 10. And then the top five from the semifinals race go to the finals. So there's 10 corgis in the finals and then one winner.
And then what does the champion receive?
Well, the number one thing they receive is bragging rights, because it's a very top tier experience to be the number one corgi in the racing world.
Corgis love insulting other dogs. That's so true.
So right now, a lot of people, they want to steal the trophy from Emmett, the corgi, who is the number one top guy. He finishes first place most races we've had. But yeah, the winners, they get the full on racing. I can't think of the word. It's the bouquet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They get the wreath bouquet. They get bragging rights. They get a giant trophy, and they get a lot of attention.
That's
so, sort of love.
Yeah. Well, and Emmett clearly has figured out how to get a lot of attention.
Yes.
Is he reigning champion? Has he done back to back? Is he sort of the Dallas Cowboys or New England Patriots of corgi racing?
Yes.
Oh no, mine was just growling when he heard Emmett's name, and he's not even a corgi. So.
Chappy, come here. You saw a cat go by the window. Hey, just 1 second, Chappy.
Fair.
Give you guys a little
glimpse of
him too.
Oh hi,
Chappy.
Oh, okay, there we go. Is he? Is he race worthy?
He actually does race, but as an employee, he's not qualified to race in Corgi National. But we do other things. We've done a lot of racing at halftime shows for the NFL. And we always bring Chappie, because we don't bring him to Corgi Nationals. And he's pretty fast. He finished third place once. He does pretty good. But Emmett's usually at that race, so he has no chance.
Yeah, what's their relationship like, Chappie and Emmett? Cordial, you know, or?
Chappie really doesn't like any other dogs, unfortunately. So
no.
He's just a house corgi. He's our house corgi. He loves people, hates dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So we try not to get him riled up too much.
So how many years has Emmett been in the game?
So let's see. We started in 2018, and then we had to take a few years off for COVID. I think, so we do Corgi Nationals twice a year. I think Emmett has won 4 times now. And our first winner was Roy. Then that was Emmett for a streak. And then we had Archie win once. And then Emmett, I think, took the trophy back from him. So Emmett's the reigning champion right now.
They're very prestigious names. Very, very official.
So, not Roy, but...
Roy, I feel like Roy is very much so.
Royston, something like that. It's more of.
Well, maybe, you know, Roy is short.
It's that, very, that's true.
It's still okay. Real.
All right, I'll stop.
So I guess it's a fancy.
Okay. That's, you didn't say that.
That's wah. That is king in French, my friend. That is some fine French corgi over there. So in addition to the races, what else are fans up to while they're taking it all in?
So the infield area is a giant festival zone. So we treat it as such. We do, we have about 30 pet vendors there. So a lot of them are corgi themed and corgi related. We have Corgi Nationals merchandise, t-shirts. So people can go shopping and visit the different brands that are there. We also have food trucks. We're going to have 10 food trucks this time. And we tried to do a foam party last Corgi Nationals. That didn't work out very well. It's a good idea, but a lot of corgis got lost in the foam, and then there was kids mixing in with it. So
oh, no.
I don't know if we'll be doing that again, but Santa Anita in the summertime too, they have a carnival that's there. So they have Ferris wheels and all kinds of rides, bouncy houses for the kids. So there's something for everybody. There's alcohol too, if you want to have some drinks. And of course you can bet on the horses too. So lots of activities.
Well, to that end, can you bet on the corgis?
Not officially, but I know people do it behind the scenes.
Such thing.
Yeah.
Is there a dress code or is it a hat kind of celebration? What's going on as far as that goes, the decor and the,
There's no wardrobe. Dress code for the humans. A lot of people do dress their dogs up. Of course, we give everybody a jersey to race in, a colored jersey with a number on it. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people wear corgi gear, corgi t-shirts, past event t-shirts from Corgi Nationals and things like that. But come as you are and have fun.
All right. Does Roy or say Emmett, do they get the same number every time? Is there a plan once they retire for some sort of retirement ceremony?
No, I'm sure. Well, you know, I'm sure for Emmett there will be, because Emmett actually won an award through the city of Los Angeles. They asked him to come to the city. I think the city commissioner invited Emmett and his family. Wow. And they gave him a scroll that was all, you know, formally written. And he got an award from the city. So he's got that. He has all of his trophies. They have a room at their house with just one giant wall of corgi trophies and awards. And Emmett's take it very seriously. And we love it.
Yeah, Emmett's got to be insufferable between the city stuff.
So, he's a good boy. Good boy.
Can anyone enter the races? Do you need to prep beforehand? Can you just show up with a corgi?
So we used to have it where people just go online and sign up in a frenzy, but there's so much demand for the corgis to race now. So we had to do a lotto system. So we have signups ahead of time. People sign up, they're a corgi. They were only allowed one entry, and then we draw the corgis, 100 random corgis to race. So this time we had about 840 entries and 100 people chosen out of that. So it was a disappointing day for many.
Yeah. So if you corgis.
If you place, are you automatically given your entry? Like, do you automatically get in the next year?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So and the winner comes back the next year to keep defending their title.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's how Emmett keeps his place.
So obviously you as a corgi owner have some experience. Do you do training, or is it just throw caution to the wind and let's see what happens on any given Sunday?
Some people just bring and race and they don't do any prep whatsoever. And they finish or they don't. But a lot of people do training. They take their dog to the park. They, you know, do whatever, treats.
Weights. Toys. Do they do weights?
Weights, no.
Just very small weights.
Weights on their,
on their legs. Yeah. What they're doing, right? Well, no, but again, not heavy, just some resistance. But then when you, it's like the same thing with baseball. When you take the little heavyweight thing off the bat, when you go up, suddenly it's like, oh wait, I can do this. I'm so much lighter.
That's true.
Little balabangles on their little ankles.
Yeah, I hope Emmett's not listening for your sake, frankly.
It's gonna up his game.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. The water work
he's
is gonna go
show
there.
Up with like a whole sponsorship deal.
I wouldn't be surprised.
With little ankle weights, little puppy ankle weights.
And this, I mean, you said there's 800 corgis applying, but this thing, I mean, like you said, it's bigger than just the races. You were on ESPN this past year, correct?
That was actually another race.
Strike the question.
Yeah. You're going to edit that one out.
they're dead to me. This is like a whole day thing that people are coming for.
Yeah, all day.
Correct.
10 a.m. to ends about 4 p.m. So, and you can bring your corgi. If your corgi didn't make it in the race, corgis are welcome. So people do bring their dogs. And the infield area is a big, giant, grassy area. We have a jumbotron out there. So it's kind of like a Jimmy Buffett concert. You know, people bring their blankets and their wagons and they lay out on the grass, and it gets pretty tight. So people are, you know, very communal and hanging out with their dogs on the grass. So it's fun. It's like a day at a park, at a concert where it's just lawn seating. It's kind of like the same thing.
And only corgis are allowed as spectator puppies?
Only corgis or corgi mixes. And that's Santa Anita's rules. You know, they just
it's a corgi event.
Corgi related, yeah. But that's at our other event, Corgi Beach Day, any dog is welcome. We call them honorary corgis for the day.
That's super cute. Corgi Beach Day sounds amazing too. I want to go to Corgi.
So are the other events Beach Day, racing?
Yeah. So
what else is on a corgi calendar?
We have a lot. So the major events are Corgi Nationals, which is winter and summer. And then we also do an event called Corgi Beach Day. That was our first original event that we started in 2012. And that happens twice a year. Also, it's spring and fall. And that's at Huntington Dog Beach. And wow. That event's huge. It grew really fast. And we had no plans to even turn it into a big event. At the time, we had a dog that had gone through a corgi, Mr. Pickles. He had gone through a bunch of surgeries on his leg, and he finally healed after about a year. So we said, let's just have a little gathering, and we'll invite people from Facebook. It was a long time ago, 12 years ago now. And 15 people showed up, and then 3 months later, we did it again, and 100 people showed up. And every time we did it, just kept multiplying, and now it's a full-on festival, just like that, with vendors and food trucks and contests, and it draws in about 10 to 12,000 people per event. So it's crazy.
What is it about corgis?
I think they're like big dogs in little bodies. They're smart. They're trainable. They're cute.
They are so cute.
I always loved them just because they're short little legs. Mm-hmm. But they're all different, you know, just like any dog. They all have different personalities, but they're very smart. That's what I like. They're active, and our Chappie is just a little cuddler. He's so cute.
But when you started this all these years ago, Mr. Pickles, 15 other dogs, a day at the beach celebrating this sort of great recovery and just having a nice fun time. You obviously, or I think obviously, never assumed, oh, we can just grow this into this, you know, full day event. And how often do you sort of stop and take that step back and look at everything and go, huh, racing corgis, that was it. That's the thing.
Well, I, you know, we do. It's me and my husband that run the operation, and we've got some really great volunteers that help us the day of, but you know, 95% of it is us. So it's been a ride. We really love the corgi community. They're so supportive. And I know everybody probably says that about their dog breed, but they're just really connected people. You know, they help each other when we're down, or, you know, somebody needs help. And we've had people, you know, get married that met through Corgi Beach Day. It's wow. A really great community. So we're happy that we can. I think the best thing about it is we give people the opportunity to make memories with their dogs and their family, because a lot, you know, we've been doing this for like 12 years. So a lot of the dogs have died along the way, including Mr. Pickles. So it's when we get people that reach out to us that are happy that they got to, you know, have these fun experiences with their dog. That's really what makes it great for us. And why we keep doing it.
Winter Corgi Nationals was yesterday, so you missed that. But for more information about Spring 2024 Corgi Beach Day, which is being held April 6th of this year, check out their website, SoCalCorgiBeachDay.com. You can also find them on Facebook, where that's Facebook.com/SoCalCorgiBeachDay.
Why the Podcast is produced by the Professional Production Company. Please be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, because we're shallow and need constant validation. For more information, you can check out our website, whythepodcast.com. And like everyone else, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Today's show was recorded and produced by Heidi Hedquist and myself from our world headquarters, located on the second floor of the Professional Office Building, centrally located downtown. Our reluctant executive producers are John Sauvé and Sandy Stone. Our willing producers are Rachel Allen and Randy Jeanette. Our intern is Zach Jackson. This one's for Philippe. Thanks for joining us. Flash, we're coming home.
Nigel, is that you? Are you here? Nigel?